All our guests, we thank you for joining us this morning. This morning we're going to take a look at a text in which Jesus tells us many things and gives us many wonderful promises. We will also see that he doesn't give us many options on how we are to know God or how we find the kingdom of heaven. It is through the man, Jesus Christ. Now this may sound narrow or elitist, but these are the words of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. But he also doesn't discriminate against any man. For when he went to the cross, he died for the sin of the world, which means all mankind. And because of this great love, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how we can go know the way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known the Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Jesus saith unto him, I have been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And he hath seen me. He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and the greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Please be seated. Our text for this morning starts out with an exhortation and a promise. Let your heart not be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. Again, a statement almost like at the beginning of the gospel or at Jesus' resurrection. Fear not. Do not be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. This statement is something where Jesus himself equates himself with the Father. And it's really the dividing line in Christianity. Between those who reject his word and his statements and those who believe him. And I can say this through experience because you can go out into this world, you can go any place that you want and talk about God. For the most part, no one has a problem with you dealing with God. Now, bring up Jesus Christ on the other hand. And there's where people will get offended. I know this because you see it in many, many places. It's very easy for me to go and talk to people about God because it's generic. It's not specific. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, is very specific. For us who have received Him as Savior, it's not a problem. But really, when you start getting down to this and dealing with this in human reason, it makes not a lot of sense. Especially to those who don't believe. Because if you believe that God is creator of the universe, all-powerful, almighty, yet God died? How can God die? Why would God die? It doesn't make sense in human reason that God would come down to earth amongst all of us rotten people and then willingly give up His life. And yet, this is what He does. And the reason is that He loves us. The reason is that He needed to do this to wash away our sin. And He does this to the point that the Apostle Paul tells us that he is convinced that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. To the point that Jesus, in looking at Jesus' words in our text, He also basically tells us this. He says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If there were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will also come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus promises us a time when we will be with Him bodily. The other thing we see here is that there are many places in God's house, in God's kingdom, and that God, or Jesus Christ, has gone to prepare a place. Now, when we think about this, it's hard to figure this whole thing out. It's hard to kind of take a grasp at this. And I was thinking about this text yesterday as I started to actually do my son's room. And the great care and the love that especially my wife has for making sure that the paint is right and making sure all these things are set up perfectly for him. Now, of course, me, I'm like, just get it on the wall. Let's get done with this. But I also want him to have a nice place to stay. Now, when you deal with this, my love for my child is nothing in comparison to God's love for us. We like to think that we have this ultimate love, especially for our children. And I didn't really kind of understand this until a few weeks ago. I'll be the first to admit that. I kind of got it intellectually. But really, when it comes down to the hardcore, you start to go, well, there's nothing that could love more than I do. Well, that's a lie. We can't love anywhere near the amount of love that God has for each and every one of us. It's uncomparable. And yet Jesus tells us in this text that He's going to prepare this place for us. He's going to take care of it. He's going to make sure that it is all in order for us. And we can only understand God's love in really understanding what He did through Jesus Christ. He sent His Son. He sent His Son amongst sinners and imperfect people. And He allowed His Son to be nailed to a cross and to die for our sake. That's God's demonstration of love for mankind. God's demonstration of love, not just for us, but for all people. And that's the calling that we now have, is to go and share that message. To let people know that their sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. That God has taken that barrier of sin away so that we will have a place to live. That place that has been prepared just for us in God's kingdom. And the next thing that Jesus deals with is how we're to get there. And he says this to his disciples, and I think it's this whole conversation is very neat. He says, "And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How do we know the way?" And so you get this whole different this deal. Jesus says, "You guys know this." Basically, he's saying, "You know me. You know the way." And Thomas, you know, unfortunately, that shows really the human side of the disciples. The question that we would probably all ask, well, you know, how do we know the way? We don't know where you're going. Many times this is kind of the question. Well, how do I get to heaven? Jesus answers it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is it. There's only one way. It is the person of Jesus Christ. It is the man who was killed for our sins and raised again by God. There is no other way. Now again, this sounds elitist. Well, see, they think they're the only ones that are saved. These are not my words. The only thing I'm repeating to you is the word of the gospel. The words of Jesus Christ himself. I cannot go against those. This is what it says. It is the person of Jesus Christ that brings us to the Father. It is not our actions. It is not what we do. It is what He has done for us. And now we come to the question about who God is. And I asked this question today at the Sunday school, and I told them, I says, "Now I need some sermon material, so you guys got to answer this question for me." I said, "Who is God? Or what are the attributes of God?" And so we get holy, we get almighty, we get righteous, is always right. All these things that almost make God to sound fearful. Especially when we're honest with ourselves and we realize what kind of creature we are. God sounds like this person that has no patience for sin or unholiness. And that was exactly the case. God didn't. But He does now. He sent His Son so that those sins could be washed away. And actually to the point that He remembers them no more. And if you want to know who God is, look at who Jesus Christ is. Look at how He deals with people. Look at what He does with sinners. Look at how He loves people. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Again, we get the disciples with this whole thing. Well, we don't get it. You've got to show us the Father. And what Jesus really comes down to tell them is, I am the Father. The Father is me. There is no separation between him, between the two. Jesus Christ is the full revelation of the Father, as he will say. And Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works." Here it is. This is where either Jesus is nuts or he's God. You either believe what he tells you here, or he was a mere mortal man that has no meaning for us, except that he might have been a good teacher. Because this is where we as human beings have to make an intellectual leap. You can't explain this. It is only revealed to us by faith. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? Jesus Christ, that man born of Mary, is also true God. And he tells us that right here. There is no separation between him and God the Father. And he goes on to tell us that it is only, the things he does are only God working through him. Christianity hinges on this fact. Was it just a man that hung upon that cross? Or was it God? Because if it was just a man, then his shedding of his blood meant nothing for us. But if he is truly God, God himself allowed himself to be killed and shed his blood for our sakes, that we could be forgiven. And that's what he has done. That's what the Word tells us. And the wonderful thing about that now is those who believe and receive that gift and that grace, there also is no separation between them and God, and between them and the Son. For we now have the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who lives with us each and every day. God has chosen to take up residence within us. And we are in his Son. That doesn't make us little gods. It makes us God's chosen people, whom he now works through, just as he worked through his Son. Truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. As believers, we sometimes don't think we have any power. We sometimes think, woe is me. We're persecuted by the world. That the world has some victory over us. This is ridiculous. God, through Jesus Christ, has given us victory. All the miracles that you see in the New Testament, we have been instructed and given to do greater works than these. And I've seen the greater works. I have seen people's lives change because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those things are mighty miracles. People who are hardened in heart, people who are lost and caught up in sin, and they see the person of Jesus Christ administered to them by someone within God's body, and lives change. These are greater works. And these are what we are called not to do on our own, but to do by the power of God and the Holy Spirit working in us. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We often wonder, where's the power of the church? Why aren't things changing? I think sometimes it's because we get caught up on ourselves. We forget where the power lies. It's not in a program. It's not in what the church is going to do next week. It is in each and every individual believer that we would go and ask God that He would use us. That we would go and ask God that He would work in and through us as He worked through His Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. You have the power of God, both in prayer and in the Holy Spirit living within you. The church is mighty and powerful. Let's live in that victory each and every day of our lives. In each and every situation we come in contact with, let's present the person of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That those things, those miracles would happen, and people would be changed. That they too would know that they are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You giving You thanks that You have revealed Yourself to us in Your Son. Father, that we can look to Him and we can see You and we can see Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy for us. But also, Father, that we can see Your victory over sin, death, and the devil, and even those things that in this world that we think are dangerous. Father, help us to seek Your Son, and Father, to ask in the name of Your Son that You would empower us to go into this world and to proclaim that gospel by word and by deed, that people would come to know Your Son through us. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.